gentle shepherd. Now, for those of you, over this past week, I've had the wonderful, fortunate opportunity to be down at the Quartet Convention. I just checked the mileage on my vehicle when I pulled into the church just now. And on Monday morning, when I left out to go to the funeral over here at Jefferson, mine has the odometer and then it has a little trip. So I just hit a zero for the trip. And I just crossed over a little over 1,640 miles this week. So I am so glad gas is down to $3 a gallon. I'm to praise God for that. But in the travels and to have the opportunity to be used of God in so many ways and to go down to the convention, folks, you have no idea about how spoiled we are here at Mount Calvary with the musicians that we have and the quality of the music, people not only that have great talent, but they just have warm hearts. That leads into my next announcement. First of all, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we're going to be at Morris Glen first. But then we have something special for you the following Wednesday night. We're going to have our 7 o'clock Bible study, and you're all invited to be here for that. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to do something different. A few weeks back, Debbie White was here and her husband Michael, and she sang so beautifully. And they were kind enough to come and invite me to dinner. I sat at their house on that Friday night, had a dinner with them. And she says, "Why don't you have a choir?" And I said, "Well, you know, God has been laying upon my heart to just, I want to have a choir here at Mount Calvary. I want you to come sing. I don't care if we all get up and get in the choir, and we can pick out one person to sit out there and listen to us if you want to. And then when we're done singing, then we'll go out there, you know, or, you know, the one person will act like they enjoyed it. Doesn't matter to me." So what we're going to do, and Vicki has been so kind. Vicki, are you awake? I mean, are you there? I'm sorry. Yeah, you're awake. She's there. She's been so kind to help us out. She's had this on her heart. I've had it on mine. And I've said, you know, let's just get together. We're going to start singing songs. We're going to try to work in a choir. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know where we're going to go sing, whether we're just going to sing to ourselves. I don't know. But the thing of it is we're going to have joy in the Lord as we lift up His name in song. And for those of you who've never sung under Vicki's direction, it will be an added prayer time. I'll leave it at that. So, you got to prepare them. You got to prepare them. But I believe that, and for so many years, at certain times, we try to make excuses. I try to pull back on the music and all. And then God just says, if you love music, just share it with people. And I love music. And I love people who just want to sing. We don't care how good you are. We don't care if you're on pitch or not on pitch. When you hear the men's group, you can tell we're not that concerned about that. Amen, Brother Bob? Amen. So, it is good. It is good to have the opportunity to sing praises. And folks, let me tell you, those old hymns that were sang down there at that convention, those were the ones that were just touching hearts. And I was amazed to see how many people that just simply don't open up the hymnal anymore and sing. That's like, this is, oh, you do that? That's kind of different. Yes, so we're going to open those hymnals up, and we're just going to start out singing hymns and some special songs. It's a great time to get ready for some Christmas music and all. So we'll be filling you in, and I'll announce that again, so that hopefully that's a week from this Wednesday, because this Wednesday we are at Morris Glen at 7 o'clock, according to Don Hartford. I've had a week. And what a wonderful week it has been, but also at the same time, as you know, the things are just God's timing. There have been things to do and places to be and opportunities, and I was fortunate enough to do a funeral on Monday to go up and visit with the parents, to visit with them on the way back from Pigeon Forge. And I continue to ask for your prayers for parents and Pop, the many struggles physically they have at this season of their life. We all are going through certain changes, through seasons. Today, as I was standing there down to the campgrounds, and they have it set up like a little coffee shop almost, and you look out and there's windows all the way around, and those windows you could see, and I've noticed that the poplars, those trees, the leaves are starting to turn a little bit yellow, and down there you could hear just, and you could see the leaves falling down, and I was down yesterday, and you could hear the acorns falling upon the concrete down there at my sister's. And so it's the changing of the seasons. And we in our own lives, we have changes in the seasons of life for us. At the funeral, we spoke from the book of Ecclesiastes in the different times. A time to weep, a time to mourn, but also a time to dance. And I am just moved about how God, through His wisdom, is taking us through the changes and seasons in our life. I was down there and I was walking around and just so many faces to see. And we've been so blessed here at Mount Calvary for the groups that come sing. And I think I've booked already about 7 groups coming next year. And thanks be to God, we have groups like Triumphant will be here on a Friday night. Mark Trammell will be back with us. The Dixie Echoes, the Proclaimers. Sold Out will be back with us. Haven't been here in a few years. And we've got a fellow coming named Pat Barker, a little different. He was the bass singer with Triumphant. First the Dixie Echoes and then Triumphant. And he is a guy that's just going to simply bless your heart. One of the most genuine Christian, talented. But my goodness, what a wonderful spirit he has about him. And I was trying to get a hold of the way you book groups, which you may not know, is you get with people and they have booking agents, these different agents that go and you go through them and you sit in. And then I was talking to Bob. I was talking to Kevin. We were talking to different people. I was texting Matt Terry about who to get. And everyone will give you advice. Thank God for it. And as I was going around and talking to people, I was hearing that the young singers were going to some of the more established groups there, and they were giving them advice. On the way back, I was listening to the Ryder Cup matches. We should have had prayer requests for the U.S. team. I believe it is too late. And I got to watch yesterday morning some of the matches, and what a wonderful display of talent that they have. And I love those. I love. But people were calling in on this show about golf, and they were giving advice. When I was at my parents', I opened up the newspaper. And I love this little newspaper. It's out of Stanton, Virginia. Because it's that thick, maybe. You know, it's not quite like the New York Times or the Washington Post. But over in the second section towards the end, most of you here will turn in the paper and sometimes you'll read the advice that's given by Dear Abby or different ones. But up there they have in just as large a little section over there, they have a whole area that gives you advice from Billy Graham Ministries. People will send in a question. And the writers down there, as they're led by God upon their heart, they begin to answer the question that is presented to them with a scripture. And then it goes on. And I love reading those little blurbs. When you go up there, there's the 5 o'clock news, but then there's 5:30, the Andy Griffin Show still, and then there's 6 o'clock national news. It is wonderful to me to go back to a town, to a situation that just warms my heart. Just in the same way when I was down there in the midst of 12,000 seated people singing hymns about the Master right out of the hymn book. And I was thinking about this thing about advice. Where do you really get good advice from? And I want to share with you a scripture found in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Back many, many years ago, and you can tell by the white hair upon my head, during the summertime, I was sent off to a little thing at a church down here, and they have a little one-week study. You know what that's called? What was that? Vacation. Bible school. Glad one person knew it. Hattie, just pat yourself on the back there. Good. And we would have so many, such a wonderful time. You do, they'd have study, you'd have little refreshments, you'd go out and play. But then they'd also have little verses that they encouraged you to place to memory. And the way they referred to this verse says you need to know God's phone number. You need to know God's phone number. In the 33rd chapter, the first verse, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, to establish that the Lord is his name. And then in the third verse, the first verse you've heard so many times, call upon me, call to me, reach out, call upon me. And I will answer you and will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3, God's phone number. Heavenly Father, allow us to just a few minutes here to just listen, God, open our minds, open our hearts, so we receive that special thing you have for each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen. Amen. I've been so fortunate in my life to have such fine advice given to me. But you know that possibly not all advice that you receive is good. And sometimes the advice that you receive is not really welcome. Now, I know that you couples out there, that you just love giving each other advice about life. It is received so wonderfully. Sometimes. Amen. And there are people who will give you advice after the fact. Well, I knew it wasn't going to work anyway, Charlie. I could have told you that. Right? But then I think there is the advice that we need to receive. And it comes from God. The advice that you need for your life. The advice that you need when you are praying about the challenges that are coming your way, it is the advice that you need that comes straight from God. Where did we read the scripture from today? We read it from His Word. The person who has the Bible open, the person who has the willingness within their heart to simply read His Word, God will honor that. He will allow you to find that little nugget of truth that you need at just the right time. How does He do that? He does that through His Holy Spirit. I believe that it's biblical. If you ask God for wisdom, He will grant it to you. I believe that so many times we're led on what to do and what not to do through His Holy Spirit. God reveals Himself. He reveals the truth that we find in His Word through the great Comforter who was sent. I was amazed down there at the convention. And trust me, folks, that is an environment that I just love being in. I'll tell you like it is. I love being down there. It's a hassle. They had people who were parked out in a satellite lot that only took them an hour and a half to go about an hour, not even a mile, what, three quarters of a mile down to the thing. They forgot them out there. So, oh, they had problems. They had the sound system was always up, and the vocals were not high enough, and the music was too high, and, oh, they're trying to get all the little kinks worked out in this room. And oh, they had problem after problem they had. And I talked to Brother Mark Trammell, and I said, how is it going? He said, Charlie, you have no idea the nightmares that we are going through. He said, but you know what? Everyone that has come to me, I have offered each one personally that I would refund them the price of their ticket. And he says, not a one has asked for it. He says, we've got some problems here. We're trying to work it out. We're trying to get things right. But people, God's people, love being in the environment where his name is being lifted up. Connie Hopper, the Hoppers, came out, and they are just a tremendous group. Many years they've served, and what wonderful, fabulous talent they have. What a wonderful following. And they have songs that are on the top of the list down there, and many. As they started to sing, she stopped, and she said, I want to begin by saying one thing. She said, I don't know how many thousands are in this room, but I want to begin by thanking each and every individual that has prayed for me for the challenges that she has had in the last 6 weeks of her life and her battle with breast cancer. And boy, you could just feel God's Spirit just move over that room. Why? Because people were thankful for others lifting them up in prayer. We all have opinions. We all have advice. And I believe God, through his wisdom, will put the people that you need to hear from at the right time. I believe that it is supernatural. Because I can testify that he has done it for me in my life so many times. Over the place I work, we have people living together in a small area. And that will bring about certain challenges. Because some people don't quite need to be living in a place where they're in real close proximity with others. Some believe that the rules just do not apply to them. They are special people. But then sometimes you get an individual, and I had to chuckle, who has a neighbor, and they were telling me about this and about that and about the other. But then they made a statement that kind of caught my ear like that. She said, you know, but one thing I will be thankful for, that I have that nosy neighbor. Because when I was out of town, something took place, and they were right on top of it. And they challenged that individual and asked some questions that only a nosy neighbor would do. Sometimes you got to praise God for that nosy neighbor and hope that you find it within your heart and their heart to just get along. Now, folks, you may scratch your head and say, well, what's that got to do with church? Well, we're all trying to learn how to live together. And we're all faced with the challenges to how to live as a family of God. What does that family mean? Well, I was with my family yesterday. And we've started those discussions about parents, about challenges, about things that we're going to have to deal with in the future. And the feathers have tendency to get a little ruffled. Amen? Amen. But in the end, we said we're going to do this together. Because a task that God presents to you, you can go out and do his will. You can do something good for God, I believe, and God is going to bless you. Amen. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. But then, sometimes he will ask you to do a task with another. That means sometimes you got to lead, sometimes you got to follow. Sometimes you have to be bold, sometimes you have to be quiet. The challenges of doing something for God and doing it together with others allows everyone in the group to be blessed of God. When I went down there to shake hands, there was an individual in this congregation and shook my hand and said, "Brother, I want to tell you something. I'm celebrating an anniversary. 30 years sobriety. I think it was about 22 years of not having that challenge of that cigarette that had such a grasp on me, and in at least 2 days, which I haven't had to deal with lying to anybody." And I thought, praise God. You know, the challenges that we have in our life, when you start to share those challenges with other people, you'll be amazed about what God will do with it. He will take the challenges that you have in your life if you simply call upon Him. He is going to show you things that you've never seen before. He's going to make a way. And He is going to allow you to fit in your place in the part of the family that you need to be. So that when it's time to cry, we cry together. When it's time to laugh, we laugh together. When it's time for that individual who's just struggling, it's time to just grab them, just hold on to them and say, "Well, you're not going to stumble. Sometimes you just got to be a scotcher." You know what a scotcher is? If you got a wagon, it's on the hill. If you got a car, back in them old days, Herbie, I'm talking to you. If you had that one that's got a stick shift over it in there, and you're on that hill, and sometimes those brakes aren't that good, sometimes you take a block out there and put it under the wheel. Think way back, Herbie. Think like last year. And so many times, what? They put a little scotch under the wheel to do what? To keep you from rolling backwards. That's all it does. I learned how to drive in a Jeep up on a mountain that had no brakes. Faith will abound. Faith will abound when you get in a vehicle and you learn to drive and it has no brakes at all. But there were trees and there were rocks and things that you could just back up against and hold it to keep you from sliding backwards. I believe that each and every one of you ought to be that. I think you ought to be the rock. I think you ought to be the block. Just says, "Well, I know it's tough. I know you're struggling. I know it's going, but I tell you what, we're going to make it through." You're just going to grab a hold of them and say, "You know what? You're not going to slip back. You're not going to let this thing that is challenging you so much to get a hold of you, because God has placed me here to share with you that together, we will just ask God to help you overcome this thing." Amen. Amen. I want to pray, but just before I do, I want to tell you that 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, we're going to Morris Glen. Have I done my job, brother?
Yeah, you did.
Good. Don and I are in one mind, one spirit, and one accord.
Want to say it again?
No. No, we would never want to overdo it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here today and allow us to share the love of God. This is a special place, folks. This is a special place. I hope you realize that as much as I do in my heart. I kid with you a lot. I pick on people. And folks, it's not going to change. I hate to say it's not going to change. You know why? Because that is my way of telling you that I love you. If I can laugh with you and you can laugh at me, and then when it comes time to cry, you'll be the person I can call, because I know we're going to cry together when I need it and you need it. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've gathered into your place here. We've simply tried to open up your word. We tried to take this truth we find in God's word and place it within our hearts. We ask that you will make your word real to us. You will use your Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, direct us. And also you will challenge us to the people that you place within our lives to allow us to be better servants of you, reaching out that one with a challenge, reaching out with that one who is struggling, Heavenly Father.